It is often said that meditation is good for you, but there's certainly a huge difference between biblical meditation versus Eastern meditation. We're going to talk about that right now with a brain expert. His name is Dr. Timothy Jennings, and he's written a small book on this very topic, biblical versus Eastern meditation. His website, by the way, is comeandreason.com. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Timothy Jennings, thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry, glad to be here, and thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, first of all, let's begin with what I opened the segment with, the idea that meditation itself is good for you. I mean, I've seen, you know, reports from different people basically saying that it's good for you, and they've also, you know, often said prayer is good for you. I mean, physically, physiologically.
So when most people use the term meditation, they're really referring to the Eastern forms of meditation. And when they're saying good for you, they're focusing on just the temporal physiological benefits that can be measured here, such as when you meditate, you can have a lower heart rate or blood pressure or less need for pain medication if you're in pain. It can help with those types of things. And it can. That doesn't necessarily mean it's good for the brain or good for spiritual development or discernment skills. It's actually not. But there are measurable benefits just from learning how to relax oneself, which is what Eastern meditation does for people.
You know, all of this reminds me of a joke about a yogi that went into the dentist and he refused Novocaine. And the reason why is he wanted to transcend dental medication. But I'm sorry about that. But talk about, well, what is the core difference between Eastern meditation versus biblical? So go ahead and define exactly what you're talking about.
So biblical meditation is a thoughtful, focused, active contemplation of God and things of God, his laws, methods, nature, creation, in a purposeful intention to connect with God while you're contemplating the deeper things that expand your perspective, enhance your discernment skills, etc. Eastern meditation is the self-directed and purposeful focusing of the mind on a single point or mantra or phrase for the purpose of stopping active and contemplative thought and disconnecting oneself from another person or reality and having a sense of connection with a cosmos or energy, so to speak. And so if you look at the brain consequences, they're quite different. Biblical meditation activates the entire brain, both left and right hemispheres. Left is where you think, reason, and plan, and right is where we connect with the universe around us. Eastern meditation, it diminishes activity in the left hemisphere while enhancing activity in the right hemisphere. So you get this emotional sense of a disconnected reality, but you actually don't get enhanced cognitive skills or contemplative thought patterns that happen. The underlying motivations also are that people in life, in the world, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Christ took upon himself human flesh that he might destroy him, has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who live all their lives as slaves to the fear of death. So this sense of annihilation, this fear of death, all humanity struggles with, it's a sense of anxiety. And Buddha, who is the one who initiated the form of Eastern meditation, had this terrible fear of death and dealt with it by doing this type of meditation that resulted in him avoiding the fear. The biblical meditation, on the other hand, though, when you meditate on things of God, it does two things. It brings you in connection with a loving creator who has a healing solution for us while diagnosing us with a condition that without our loving creator will result in our death. Thus, we have freedom from the fear of death through a solution that cures us rather than just avoiding the fear itself. And so if you want to make it very succinct, Eastern meditation treats the symptoms, whereas biblical meditation leads to a cure for the problem.
That's interesting. So in effect, the Buddhist selection or the selection, what Buddha himself did was, you know, not to think about the thing that bothered him. It's sort of like the old Henny Youngman joke, you know, Doc, it hurts every time I lift up my arm. Oh, well, don't lift up your arm. Okay. You know, in other words, sort of avoid the problem. Don't think about it. And, you know, empty your mind of those things. That's what Eastern meditation is, as opposed to the biblical, which solves the problem of the fear of death through the cross of Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right. And so, and the biblical draws us out of ourselves. On earth, we're the highest created beings on earth. There's nothing on earth that will ultimately advance or develop us if we make it the focus of our attention or worship. Only worshiping the infinite God do we continue to advance and develop and expand our perspectives, our horizons, and ultimately our knowledge of the universe and God himself. But when we focus on things of the earth or on nothing, it contracts our discernment skills and our perspectives and actually hinders our development. And Eastern meditation does that. It restricts mental abilities. And as all things of the evil one does, it will take and then relabel it as something virtuous. So they call this experience of focusing on an empty nothing in which you don't actually get new perspectives from an infinite God of a larger reality. They call this nothing focus enlightenment.
Now, you're a medical doctor. Tell us about how you became interested in this topic and the contrast between the two forms of meditation.
Well, I became interested in it both from it is making huge inroads into the field of medicine because the Eastern meditation, as I said, if you do this meditation, you will calm during the meditation practices your stress circuitry, and lowering your stress circuitry activation reduces blood pressure and heart rate. These are measurable things, and because of these measurable physiological things, it is being actively promoted throughout the landscape of modern Western medicine these days, and essentially all practices, because you can have this measurable outcome. The problem from a Christian perspective is, though, that the biblical meditation will necessarily take a sinner through the valley of the shadow of death as our Savior leads us in the path of righteousness for his namesake to restore our souls. That is the agonizing place where we have to go to the crucifixion of the self, or the dying to self, which is Jacob's night of wrestling with the angel, or Peter after he denies the Lord and goes out and weeps bitterly. So there is a transient period in biblical meditation that leads us through an anxiety-provoking period, which is the true rebirth or conversion experience that doesn't feel good in the moment but leads to a new heart, right spirit, and peace. Eastern meditation obstructs that process because as you start to feel the anxiety, what you do is you stop focusing on God and wrestling with their own sin condition and in relation with God, and instead you go to self-directed meditation on nothing that makes the feeling go away, and you find this euphoric emotional sense of calm so that you never actually experience the true rebirth experience that God has for us.
Okay, why don't you address this directly from a medical perspective, you know, from your own studies, if there's something you want to add to this. I mean, I think it's a fascinating point.
From the medical perspective.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, from the medical perspective, Eastern meditation activates the right cortex of our brain, diminishes activity in the left hemisphere, increases dopamine activity in the brain, which causes you to have an increased sense of visualization and emotional euphoria is your experience. It also decreases beta waves. Those are the waves you get when you're problem solving and thinking, and increases theta waves and alpha waves, which are the brain waves that happen when you're daydreaming and not actually focused. And so we can see measurable changes, and then we can see growth in one hemisphere of the brain, but not the other hemisphere of the brain, part of the brain called the thalamus, which again is causing neurological changes in the brain through the Eastern forms of meditation. In the biblical form of meditation, you actually get more complex neural circuitry developing in the prefrontal cortex, where we do problem solving and complex information processing.
All right. Now, how do we explain the fact that there are a lot of Christians, professing Christians, who are going into yoga classes and so forth today?
So yoga can be used for both the physical stretching and exercises aspect, as well as the meditation aspects. And so when you use that term yoga, you have to ask, am I doing the meditation part? Am I simply doing the body stretching and exercising part? So it's sometimes confusing there. The body stretching stuff would be fine. It's the meditation practices that you'd want to be careful about. But as far as a mental exercise goes, that is all you're doing, simply exercising your ability to pay attention and focus on a point, but it's not spiritual or meditative, that could be a mental exercise similar to your physical exercise. It's when we begin using this type of meditation as a meditation and a spiritual pursuit to avoid wrestling out our problems in an enlightened relationship with a more complex reality that it becomes diminishing to us.
Do we as Christians need to, in effect, rediscover the need for more biblical memorization, because that memorization can often lead to biblical-type meditation?
Well, that's great. Having memorization puts biblical memorization creates a data resource. And one of the struggles that many Christians have is they're Christians, but they're biblically illiterate. Now, I can't tell you how many patients I have that say they're Christian, but they don't know the basics of the most simple Bible stories because they've never been taught them. So you're exactly right. Without that information, then they often don't have the resources they need to actually meditate or focus on something of a more complex nature.
Do you try and have any kind of systematic way to memorize more scripture in your own life?
No, I have never gone through in a systematic way to memorize like chapters or books. I tend to find
verses of
the scripture that have meaning to something that that I'm working on or we're studying that I want to be able to reproduce frequently, and those are the kinds of verses that I tend to memorize.
When you were talking about Peter a few minutes ago and the anxiety he felt and the weeping he underwent because, you know, he experienced godly sorrow because of what he had done in denying Jesus three times. And you also mentioned Jacob, who then got renamed to be Israel, which means he wrestles with God, because of that incident where he was wrestling. By the way, that happened to be in my very Bible passage this very morning, that incident with Jacob / Israel in Genesis chapter 32. I remember it because I just read it this morning. But this period of anxiety that sometimes biblical meditation can be unpleasant at first, but that's as you're working something out. Is that kind of in some ways with a medical process? Sometimes you have to experience some pain before you can get to the healing. Is it, explain on that.
Yeah, no, well said. So once there is brokenness of any kind, there are no pain-free options. If you have a broken bone and they set it and they pin it and you go to therapy, there's pain in the process. It brings healing. But if you don't let them touch it, you remain not only in pain but disabled. Spiritually speaking, we're all broken or damaged by sin. And the healing process in a relationship with a loving creator will bring us to awareness and confrontation of areas in our own life that we need to resolve and address. And we know that self doesn't like to do that, and it can be anxiety-provoking and uncomfortable to do so. But having done it, that's where we find real long-term health, wellness, and peace. And that's the difference. Eastern meditation will lead people to simply basically take anesthesia for their emotions. They feel better, but they actually aren't getting better.
And I could be wrong, but it seems to me that the meditation movement, you know, secular version of it, or pagan version of it, or whatever, is making a lot of inroads in the culture at large. I mean, for example, even at schools, but of course, you know, they wouldn't allow, you know, oh, meditate on these Bible verses, you know, for God so loved the world, etc.
Yeah, that's because the Eastern meditation allows people to continue their life outside of the principles upon which God built it to operate, while they do the meditation to allow them to avoid feeling any sense of existential anxiety or concern or guilty conscience that they would normally need to wrestle out and change their lifestyle. They can simply avoid the feeling by doing Eastern meditation and helping themselves feel good while they continue to practice actions or lifestyles that are not actually healthy in the long run.
Excellent point. Okay, so anything you want to say in conclusion? We have about 1 minute left.
I just want to encourage people that to take governance of their own mind, not to surrender their mind to other people, to think for themselves, follow the evidences, and make God the center of their worship and meditation in an active way. He's an infinite God. We're finite beings. We'll never stop advancing in our knowledge of Him as we continue to pursue the truth that He has revealed to us.
And does music play any kind of role? You know, hymns, music, you know, spiritual songs, etc.
Oh yeah, music can be very powerful, both for a positive and for a negative. And there's studies that show that. And the types of music you listen to can either enhance learning or can diminish learning, depending on whether we're listening to uplifting music or music that actually is an assault on the senses.
Okay, Dr. Timothy Jennings. Again, the website is commonreason.com, and we're talking about biblical versus Eastern meditation. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.